You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
A memory isn't simply a thing you have. It's a promise.
Tell me a story, Mommy. A happy one.
Oh, we had this secret handshake.
They'll never forget you.
How do you know?
They'll remember.
Alone.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh, wow.
Hello. Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome, where we are all here alone. Alone in our little areas, in our glass walls of emotion.
We're just solo in our little cubes.
Yeah, yeah. We're all like, we are in a futuristic, solo, lonely little cube where I can't reach out and I can't touch people. And it's very sad. Hi, Peter. I just tapped the bottom of the cube. There you are. Hi.
Oh, that was sad. That was a sad little
hot. I'm reaching out to you, Peter.
Please. Peter, reach out. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Hello. Welcome out there in the darkest reaches of the internet where you're all alone and we're all alone. And oh, wow, this got dark really fast and I'm sorry. Hi, I'm Quinny. Just hi. I just need you to know that I love you when you're out there.
Hi, Quinny.
Who are you?
I'm Dion. And I'm not alone because I've got everything the internet can provide me and I don't need anyone else and I'm happy in here in my box and you can't convince me to go outside because I don't want to.
Oh, wow. I feel like we've really hit on the theme here. Hi down there. How are you? Who are you?
Is it me?
It's you.
Yes. I'm fine. I'm having a little bit of an asthma trouble at the moment. Oh. So if I disappear, it's just because I can't stop coughing.
Oh. Yeah. And have you been to Melbourne recently?
I have not. And I have also been tested and everything is fine except that my lungs hate me.
Oh. Well, I too can attest to I may lose my voice halfway through this.
I have been
in Melbourne. So. and Jill down there, how are you?
I am the Remember Me bot known as Jill.
Oh.
The real one died of COVID that she caught in Melbourne.
Oh, God.
That's
fuck.
So dark, fuck. Jill.
This is the darkest of all timelines.
No, I went to Melbourne and all I got was this lousy cold.
Yay. I too got that cold and that T-shirt. So, yeah. Yes.
Who got
and God for the negative test.
Yeah. Man, all right.
You got con cred.
Yeah.
Yes. What a fun time it is to be alive. And what an interesting show that we have for you this week as we talk about a show that talks about what it is to be alive in these interesting times and the interesting times that are to come.
Yes. Not really the interesting times that are right now. It's like, what is it like in the future, reminiscing about the now or the future?
And it's interesting, like, I think last week we were talking Love, Death and Robots where we were like, yeah, it's amazing. This is talking about animated anthology shows and so forth. And we were like, yeah, wouldn't it be great if there was an anthology show with live action that was also sci-fi? Oh, hang on. Ta-da!
And then we found it.
Yeah, you mean Tales from the Loop that we did like a few months ago?
Oh,
last year, actually.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah. Also, I'm still struggling with Solos to find out narratively how it matches to Solo, because this is the worst Han Solo sequel I have ever seen. I don't understand it. There was no Chewbacca. There was no Millennium Falcon. What the fuck is going on?
If it's Solo's plural, shouldn't it be about like Han and Ben?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No, not even them. I think it's about the it's about Han's parents, the Solos.
Oh.
You know, Mr. and Mrs. Solo.
Solo wasn't his birth name.
Can't guarantee.
Pretty sure I still think that's a shitty piece of writing.
can't guarantee.
What's your name? Han. Okay, there's one of you, Solo. Okay, so we're using Latin root words now to make jokes? Yeah, cool. Okay.
Stop picking apart Solo. It was a really hard time to make movies about Star Wars.
I do like that. That is one film that managed to stop that whole concept of, yeah, we're going to have like a saga film and then a standalone film. Saga film, then standalone. Oh, no, we're not. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, we are putting a pin in that.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yes.
That is a hard stop.
Mm. Yes. That's what happens when you try and do that in light speed.
Yeah. And when your showrunner bails after the first movie.
Yeah, where bails or gets fired. Anyway.
Mm.
Yes. Anyway, so today we are talking about a show called Solos.
Yes. Would you like to know what it's about?
Jill, I would love it if you could tell me.
Let me take it away. Seven unique character-driven stories. Each character will set off on a thrilling adventure in an uncertain future, and they'll come to reckon that even during our most isolated moments, we are all connected through the human experience.
Oh. Oh, is
that
it?
That sounds all right.
Yeah, it does.
Bit of an okay.
Yeah, I get along for that. So I guess, first of all, I have to say a thank you to Missy, who is in the chat, who was the one who recommended this.
Nice.
And was one of those, if this is a show that I had no fucking clue about, never heard anything about it at all.
Didn't pop up in my suggested.
No, and admittedly, I think that's partially because I wasn't watching much Amazon Prime. Because when I finally opened Amazon Prime to look at it.
Invincible.
Yeah. But after Invincible, after that finale, I was like, okay, thanks, Amazon. I'll see you later. And then when I opened it upon, you know, because I was like, oh, well, let's go and find out about this Solo show. There it is, all over fucking Amazon Prime. Solo, Solo, Solo. So, yeah. I guess, you know.
Well, I mean, with the amount of stars attached to Solos, you would expect that they had done some significant marketing for it. But, yeah, it completely dropped off my radar too. I didn't even know about it until it was suggested, like, we should do Solos. And I watched a trailer and I was like, really? Should I? I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I even watched a trailer. I was like, okay. Okay, why are you the one sneezing, Dion? You're the only one who's not sick here.
This bodes badly. Maybe I've caught it through you guys. Shit.
Well, there was an awful lot of hugging that you did.
It's a computer virus. What the fuck is going on?
It's in the computer?
It's in the computer. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, no, like I didn't watch a trailer or anything. I just jumped straight into the first episode, but I also looked at it and went, okay, so the it's funny because I literally put on the first episode based on what Missy had said, and I was looking at it and I'm like, is that Anne Hathaway? I think that's fucking Anne Hathaway.
She's pretty recognisable, Kitty.
I know.
I don't think you'd be actually questioning it.
Yeah, no, but I did have that thing of like, I was like, okay, because I hadn't looked at anything of it whatsoever, hadn't looked at a trailer, hadn't even looked at the fucking cover art. I was like, oh, I wonder whether this is one of those. I mean, is that an Anne Hathaway lookalike that they've got for this science fiction TV show? That okay, I'll get involved in this. And then I got through the end of the first episode, and I was like, "Oh, that was Anne Hathaway."
Only then did it click for Quinny. His cognitive function is severely impaired by having.
But then I turned on the next episode. I was like, "Oh, that's Anthony Mackie."
Oh, fuck's sake.
honestly, that was my experience of this thing was just like going, oh, that's a famous Mirren. Person.
That's exactly. Famous.
Oh, look at that. It's Helen Mirren. What's she doing here?
What is this? All these famous people are here having a monologue time.
Yes. And that's essentially, you know, there's your real simple synopsis, isn't it?
You sly dog, you got me monologuing again.
Because I found the monologue times to sometimes be successful and sometimes be less successful as the series went through.
Yes, absolutely.
I was excited about it when I started watching because I was like, you know what? I just like watched that whole animated anthology thing. I wasn't, you know, it was fine, but it's not really my thing. And I specifically requested the universe last week. I would like some live action shorts, please. And then this little, you know, seemingly easily digestible little anthology of 30-minute shorts with an interesting premise of having one actor in each. In each episode, I was like, oh, this is interesting. What a fun thing to watch.
Yeah.
But the and the first one, the Anne Hathaway one, is really interesting because they find a very interesting way to make one actor work and still have dialogue and back and forth and drama.
Yeah.
Whereas others are just like straight monologuing.
Oh, yeah.
Like lots of just exposition.
Like the Uzo
and
Aduba.
Those ones are less fun.
Yeah. The which one, Jill?
The one with Uzo Aduba.
Yes. Oh, that was the one that really kind of, I think, knocked me out of the thing.
Same.
That for me felt more theatrical.
Yes.
You're using as all the words play? I was going to use.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was thinking. Like, as a stage play, I would accept this.
Yeah.
But it's not working for me on the small screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of, like, connected emotionally with it. But, I mean, I suppose that's the beauty of them just being 30-minute things. Like, I couldn't watch a full series of that.
No. No, I'd just like to take a moment to look at Amy and frown because, no, you know what they say, if there's an Anne Hathaway, there's an Anne Hathaway. Get out, you are.
Get out the banhammer, just block it. Yeah.
Do we have like a 10-minute no?
Oh, we need a naughty corner for the chat.
Yes.
I think the whole chat is a naughty corner. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yes. Can we have this is the naughty corner section of the chat that is it's allowed.
Jesus.
So yeah, look, I think you almost exactly the same, Pete. Like I watched the first one and I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, okay. That's Anne Hathaway. And then it's Anthony Mackie. And then the Helen Mirren one, I was like, oh, okay, right. Okay, so we're doing this, but it's still kind of working.
Mirren, so it works.
Exactly. And then I got to the fourth one and I was like, oh dear. Yeah, right. Okay. Now we're doing like monologues. And I'm like you, I'm a theater kid. I am the theater kid who went through a Bachelor of Performing Arts. I have seen more than my fair fucking share of shit monologues.
I thought you were sitting there going, I know theatre, darling, and let me tell you.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, sitting there going, actually, I have seen shit monologues.
No. I love it. It's gorgeous. No. I have seen a lot of bad monologues, and that was the moment, that fourth episode, where I just went, oh, okay, right.
But they did have the device in the fourth episode that they could have used to pull out that drama a little bit more than monologuing if they wanted to. And that's what kind of got me about that. I'm like, oh, no, you've set up a potential for a bit of dialogue here, but instead you're just – full on monologuing the history of this person's life for no reason. I feel like with the Helen Mirren one, it was a full monologue, but it was a little bit more reflective. It kind of felt like she had a bit more of a reason to be reflecting on why she was there in that moment.
Do you know what that's called, Peter?
Acting. Yes.
She is an actor. So we believe her on her journey.
It wasn't just that the performance was excellent because it's Helen Mirren and Helen Mirren is flawless. The premise suited the monologue
absolutely
better, than the fourth episode. And my other experience with this was that when I kind of started it, and I think I might have like texted you guys, because the first couple of episodes are kind of like edged with this film of hope, you know, they're not like happy, but there's a little bit of an edge of hope to it. So I was like, well, this is kind of nice because it feels like a little bit like of a, you know, Black Mirror, but without the horrible despair.
Yeah, so, the crushing darkness.
Yeah, so I kind of kept watching it thinking, oh, I could do a little bit more of this kind of slightly hopeful sci-fi. And then it wasn't hopeful for many of the others. And I got into a watching loop where, like, I would watch one and I'd be really fucking depressed at the end of it. And I was like, oh, I better watch another one because, oh, no. Like, I need something happy now. And, like, I'm, like, up to, like, 1 a.m. going, I better watch the next one. Maybe it's happy. I'm so sad now.
Yeah. Yeah, like the first one has some element of hope and some element of humor. Second one has got a bit of humor. Third one, you're like, oh, okay, it's getting a little darker here. Fourth one, you're like, oh God.
Fourth one's not even that dark.
Oh yeah, compared to
the, like, fifth one.
The fifth one is super dark.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is another just straight monologue as well. Absolutely no interaction from another voice. But I don't know, did that hit you differently to Sasha?
Yeah, as an opinion, I will say that the episode Jenny is a really interesting monologue because it is acted with such passion and
snot.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, you've got to, if you want to look good on camera, you've got to release bodily fluid somehow during a monologue, and that makes it interesting. But you heard.
Pretty sure that's not a rule.
I feel like Dion is not a theatre kid.
No.
I have had you know I've treaded a board once.
It had a nail on it and he had to go get tetanus after. Yeah.
But it was full of passion and spite and vinegar. I think that was interesting for that one was there's two very powerful singularly led pieces in it, and one of them I believed and one of them I didn't if I was to compare Jenny and Sasha together. And then it takes another turn for the next one, which is just weird. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh, that's the end. I have thoughts.
Jennifer Hudson in Cats level of snot, more like.
But I also want to say about this. Did you break up the viewing of this? Because I watched them in series, 1, 2, 7 in a row.
Okay,
I watched the first couple. Texted you guys about it, being like, everybody watch this thing, and then I watched the rest of them the following night till 1 a.m.
Yeah. So, like, I've got to say that by the end of the seventh episode, I was pretty much going, that's a wrap up sign.
I was going to say, this is an audio medium, by the way, as well as a video medium. So,
see, I'm a theatre kid. I know that. But yeah, like there was a certain amount of. I was in with it with the first few, and then it loses me in the middle part, and then it kind of tries and drags me back because it was doing different things. Like, it was trying to say things in a different way. I thought it was getting a bit samey in the middle. And then by the end, it sort of stood over there and was like, wink, wink, get the twist, wink, wink. And I was like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, got it. It's fine. It's okay. You've done fine.
I haven't seen the last two episodes.
And that's why,
yet,
and I don't want to spoil. Yeah, I don't want to spoil that for anyone at the end.
I'm hoping I'm not disappointed because I'm quite enjoying just, I don't know, experiencing people's lives as being told by a single person. And I mean, there is part of me that's trying to understand the world that they're in, because it all does seem to be within the same universe and timeline. And I'm just trying to tell that part of my brain, no, just sit here and go on this journey with someone, because I think that's what this show is just trying to do.
And I think it does it in a really nice way, the way that you kind of find yourself going, okay, I'm just going to let a story be told to me. And we're not used to this kind of TV anymore. Yeah. Like it is very theatrical, and it is very stagey, but at the same time, like, it's still very well made, and the sets are incredible. The you know, everything feels weighty and like it's got a lot of effort put into it. But yeah, like it's sort of an older style of storytelling. And also I think the thing that I find really interesting about it is clearly why it was made this way. You know, this is a thing that we can make in lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, put people on the right kind of background, small crew, one actor, nobody has to worry about, you know, COVID.
I mean, I feel like it's a fabulous idea even out of lockdown. I'm always, you know, talking about how much I love limited cast, limited location concepts, because they are great low budget concepts, which, you know, anybody can write, you know, a decent script and make a short film with one actor in one location. It's kind of very accessible for anybody who's interested in telling these kinds of stories. Obviously, they did not choose the low budget route given the cast that they have put into it, and a lot of money has gone on the screen. But it's another thing that drew me to it is I love one actor, one location stories. Strip out everything else and just tell me a story about this person in this place at this time.
And I do love watching an actor ply their trade. Like, you know, watching somebody act the fuck out of a script, like, is you know, very exciting.
Yeah, and I think I really feel like this series could be considered art. I mean, you could go and see like a live performance, you know, in a gallery or a museum or something similar to this. And to get more bums in seats to watch it, I think you have to have that larger name to draw people in. But I mean, they're all such talented actors, and yeah, it's brilliant just to see them, you know, work their craft rather than, you know, big budget Hollywood ball busting action stupid shit, you know. It's like, let's just strip everything back and watch people perform.
Yeah. I like, I remember seeing years ago in Launceston a performance of The Hollow Crown, and it was, oh God, Sir Ian Richardson, Derek Jacobi, and one of the older dames of theatre, and I cannot for the life of me remember whether it was Miriam Margolyes or...
Gary Sinise.
Sorry?
It was Gary Sinise.
It was Gary Sinise. It was Dame Gary Sinise.
It's always Gary Sinise.
That had elements of that feeling too. Like, I was in a big fuck-off theatre with 1,000 other people watching, you know, the best actors of a generation, and they're just talking. They didn't have microphones. They didn't have sets. They didn't even, they just fucking acted the shit out of that stuff on the stage, and 1,000 people in the audience went, oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoyed about this. There were times when it didn't quite hit that, and that's what I didn't enjoy about this. Dion, I know you have opinions.
No, you guys have said it all. I have nothing to...
No, we haven't, because I know you've got thoughts.
I see, this is the thing. I agree with all of the opinions that you've already put out there, which is it's a lovely, it's wonderful that some art got made. And this is art with a science fiction twist. in the sense that it's a future story. So it is absolutely, I agree, it's what you're talking about. It's like some art pieces that could easily be at a theatre club or a gallery with more budget and bigger names attached to it. That it ticks all the boxes that you wanted to. It's relatively cheap in a certain way to manufacture because it is small crew, it's COVID safe, and it's passionate. It has enough in it to inspire the actors that you're getting. Okay, so I think the actors weren't just convinced by the dump truck of money that Amazon has. They were also convinced by the factors like it's just you on screen for at least half an hour delivered into people's homes. So every single actor, I think, offered this role was like, yes. It's like, I'm not part of an ensemble. It's pretty much just me. Plus they give the individuals time and space in that world to create a character and go through it and have, hopefully a really good time. I think they had, not just cashing the giant Amazon check, good times. They had a good time doing the project. So it's kind of, this is an actor's project, not a studio project. So that is why I go, it's great. And then at other times I'm like, this is terrible because I got lost. Cool. They come straight out of the gate, Leah and Tom and Peg is some high quality, theatrical drama for you. And then you get a bit of a mixed bag with Sasha and Jenny and Neera. And then they try and pull it. I feel like they try to tie it up at the end, like the drawstring, by getting, Morgan Freeman and Dan Stevens, two consummate, wonderful actors at the end. And I felt just by the end of it, maybe it was because I watched them all through in one go, but by the end of it, I was like, that didn't help me. I got lost too much by the end of it that I didn't know which feeling I was supposed to have, but I really appreciated the story and the ideas that we're playing with and what they were trying to do. Like, is it important it got made? I think absolutely. Was it successful? Not 100% sure, but it's valuable. And that's great to have. Mm. The more we get homogenized in terms of content delivery, let's not say what's all happening out there at the moment, but the more it gets homogenized, the more interesting it is to see this kind of content actually come out and have money thrown at it. I just hope that they can find an ability to do that more, to find the good bits that come out. That's why I was kind of like, did you like it? No. But did you appreciate it? Fuck yeah. Like, absolutely. Did I like Solos? No. Was I really happy it was made? Fucking oath, because I want to see art funded. Mm. Not all art is great. Not everyone gets art. But that's okay. It's not there for you. It's there for the people who get it.
Still, you have an appreciation, and I appreciate your appreciation.
Yeah. I appreciate your appreciation. Yeah.
Falling into that category that I often find myself in of like, I can see that it's good. I'm not enjoying it.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like Army of the Dead. I can see that a lot of money was put in there and it excited many people, but it's not a good film.
I thought you were actually going to say, I can see that it's good, but I'm not enjoying it, because that is patently not true.
No, sorry.
I think the reason that this sort of stuck in my brain a little bit, there was a series in the 80s, and I couldn't remember what it was until I was just looking it up, Talking Heads. It was a BBC series that was, funnily enough, six short monologues from 1988. And, they put a bunch of really shit hot British actors in it. Each of the monologues was written by Alan Bennett, fairly well-known British playwright. They just basically filmed monologues, put them on TV of people talking about their life. So in this case, it's a little more kitchen sinky, but at the same time, it's just a filmed monologue. And I was thinking, oh yeah, this has got a bit of that. I mean, this is a lot smarter than that, and like the money's gone into it more. I mean, sorry, smarter. This one plays with the structure more. So, with the Anne Hathaway one, you know, you've got her and then different versions of her, you know, from different time periods or whatever. That's a much more interesting way of keeping it alive rather than just one person literally walking around a house talking. But there is sort of a history, and it's a very British history, of just doing monologues on TV. So this sort of gave me memories of that. But, yeah. And it gave me memories of it, of the ones that I thought didn't work as well, funnily enough. So, like, the ones Sasha's the fourth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jenny, to a degree, and definitely, actually, no. Jenny's is the most monologue-y.
Yeah. There's but straight it's up, also, like, no conversation with anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that's 100% piece to camera. Why yeah. am I here? There is, it's you and that character going through it.
I have to admit, I didn't. That one worked more for me as a monologue than a few of the others.
Sorry, which one, Jenny? Or yeah, like it's because it is so powerful and the emotion works so well. But I did feel like it was suddenly structured, like stylistically so different. And it wasn't right until the very end of it that I went, oh, okay, now it feels like it belongs in here.
Yes, but at the very end, it also felt even more like monologues that I used to hear in high school drama classes, because it gets real dramatic and dark in the way that you might if you were writing a monologue for a high school drama class.
Yeah. Well, there was a bit of a moment where I reached for the television remote control, just started turning the volume down just in case the neighbors were like, why is a woman screaming in your house? I'm like, it's the television, I'd still got to watch it. So just take that volume down a little bit, because it does take a few bits where you're kind of like, I'm listening and I'm turning it up, and then it's very loud. And I go, oh shit, down again. Yeah. But that's just the nature of the thing, you know, and it felt to me slightly confronting. And I like that about, you know, narrative. Occasionally, if it gives you a reaction and you have to react to it, not just absorb it, it is kind of like, well, that's good, sort of, can be. No? No. Fine.
Right. I like that you kind of just started to question yourself halfway through this.
Is it? I don't even know.
I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm alone.
Yeah, I'm alone. I'm trapped in a thing and don't make me go outside. I don't want to. That was a very tough episode to get through.
Yes.
Yeah. Did it work for you, that concept?
We're talking specifically about Sasha, who is basically locked herself away during COVID times and now refuses to come out because she's actually become an anti-vaxxer. come on. As parallels.
I wouldn't say anti-vaxxer. I'd say conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it was definitely a play on the QAnon style.
Yes. I'm the only one
might go down.
Yes, I'm the only one who knows the truth, and I can just tell because I know, because my information is better than yours, even when everyone else is going, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can come out now.
I think it was a nice exploration of the human psyche and, you know, playing with doubt and like self-doubt and misinformation.
Yeah.
So,
and it's it really gets to the point where you having to. I fell for it because it was like, okay, what is true? What is real?
Yeah.
And when you really hit the moment of true paranoia, you can't help but going, hang on, is the house trying to kill me? Am I the only one who can work out what the fuck's going on here? Mm.
I mean, that's some super patient house, like, as I want to go through. It has only been
20 years.
Just quietly trying to encourage you to leave a house for 20 years. And by the end of it, it's like,
mate, if I just had a bottle of wine and a book and you set me up in a room for 20 years, I would be sweet. I wouldn't want to leave either.
Yes. Oh, yes. A good reminder in the chat there of getting close to spoilers. It's about time to maybe move on to a little bit more spoilery stuff. But what I would like to know, what was your favorite episode so far? I mean, some people haven't watched it all, but you know.
Yeah. I haven't watched it all.
Tell me your favorite episode and why in 20 words or less, plus rating. Go.
I like them all equally.
Really? They all hit you?
Yeah.
You want to take it as a one thing?
I'm kind of enjoying it as like a collective. I can't say that I prefer one episode over another because they all kind of have their own quality. I'm enjoying the whole series.
Yeah. There were a couple that really didn't work for me. Like there was, I think the second last one just like left me completely cold.
Okay. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
I liked the first episode the most, I think, Leo. And I also liked Tom. And then it got a little bit chillier for me after that. And they are both of the ones where they managed to find a device where dialogue could actually happen with the one actor. So that may be a little bit telling
as
to what I enjoy.
They're good entry point episodes. Like, yeah. I think it's a nice, guiding hand to a viewer who might not be accustomed to this sort of anthology monologue style television series to just say, here, if you like these, keep watching. But maybe I guess I found Peg a little bit boring.
Whereas I think Peg was almost one of my favorites. Like it's definitely top two. Because I just fucking loved watching Helen Mirren do her thing. And the idea, the concept of the older woman who becomes invisible to the world, I think is a great truth, you know, that there are a lot of women who just disappear in society because they no longer are considered useful or whatever.
Yeah, that one did hit in a particular way.
Yeah, yeah. I fucking love watching Helen Mirren do her thing. I think a few people in the chat have said the first one, and I think the first one's probably the most accessible.
Yeah.
And also it goes on a fucking rant about Game of Thrones in there that I was like...
it's got some funny pop culture moments. It's got some, you know, funny references to COVID and jokes that we all make about 2020 being such a dumpster fire. So
that whole thing, no, don't go to 2020, no.
It is a nice entry point.
Yeah, there are other things I'd love to talk about, and I think we will do that in the spoiler section. Do we want to try and rate this? I mean, it's a very, very difficult thing to do.
No, it's not. You just give it a number and move on.
Just nimble it and move on.
Yeah, just. Oh, God, no, please don't say that. I will not promote that company ever.
We do not endorse Nimble It or anything like that. We
stop saying it.
Like making fun of them.
Not endorse payday loan mechanisms. Anyway, do you want me to go? I'll go first. Very quickly, whole series, 50.
Oh.
First three episodes, 75 to 80. Like, I'll go, the first three episodes are the best of it, and it generally because, A, it's got some amazing actors with some really juicy kind of interesting points to make in some well-fleshed-out, written stories. So like, as I said, front loaded. Like if you like Solos, to get into it, you watch the first three and you're like, this is going to be amazing. Unfortunately, I had the drop off very steeply after that, and it sort of petered out badly towards the end, and I was just kind of like, there's some interesting concepts in there which I could unpack a bit more after the spoiler break, but overall, I kind of went, maybe it might work if you break it up and watch it. But, like, I still stand by the fact that it's art. It's great art. Should it be made? Yes, absolutely. Does it have great things to say about human condition and connectedness and how it can say? Yeah. But I think it was really high at the front and then just kind of didn't work. It didn't connect me. I could see what I was trying to do. It just didn't connect me. So, overall, 50.
Okay, 50, 50 is an overall for Dion.
So I've seen them all, so I've done the recommended reading.
All right. Okay. Well, good work. Okay, Jill.
I have seen 5 episodes, so full disclosure, I haven't finished the series, but I am going to rate it 90 because I find every episode so beautifully acted and poignant in its storytelling and amazingly directed, and the cinematography is beautiful, and I'm digging it. As a piece of art, it's brilliant.
Lovely. So, sorry, that number again?
90.
Ooh. Look at you go, all the way to the top. Lovely. Okay. And I've just put that beside the wrong person's name. Peter, you've just rated it 90. Well done.
Excellent. Thanks.
Well, I've actually just rated it 75, I think, because okay. I think Jill is right. As a piece of art, it is really good. And I do think that it achieves exactly what it sets out to achieve. It hasn't made any missteps. It hasn't, you know, done what it set out to achieve badly. The performances are amazing, and I do really enjoy the opportunity to see something different done with scripted on-screen storytelling, because I love it, and it makes a little film student inside me happy to see these kinds of things. But it also made me sad. So it's not quite up there at a 90 for me. And some episodes were much more successful for me as pieces of storytelling than others. So just keep sticking a credit on it.
Okay. I agree. And I'm going to sit at about the 82.
Oddly specific, but sure.
Yep. You know, just because I like having randomized numbers, and that one seemed like a good one. I think that for everything that works in it, you know, and there are great swathes of it that work beautifully and are incredibly watchable, every now and then it just stumbles. There were other moments where, like, I really loved that Jenny had elements of humor in it. Like, you know, because there was a lot of it that was pretty dour up until that point. You're like, oh, God, okay. There was still just one episode that I was just like, okay. I don't know why that was even here. So, yeah, beautifully made. Sorry?
I said I could pick that one.
Yeah,
I can pick your brain. I'm like, I know the one that you're like, why is that one even in there? I don't even understand.
But yeah, sure. Yeah. Beautifully made, beautifully shot, great acting, and an extraordinarily interesting concept to put on screen. Would like to see more. Also interesting, and I'm going to mention it again. I mentioned it last week. I saw a short film anthology thing on Shudder called Dead House Dark, made in Australia. And same sort of thing, short films that are then linked together through a framing narrative and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I mean, this is a thing. This is something that I think we like seeing is linking concepts. So, yeah. It's good, and it's not the most original thing in the world, but also little theatre kid is going, I would have loved to have had one of these to do as an audition piece. Right. And which Super in Denial says, okay, Black Mirror or Solos, where are we at?
Two totally different things.
It's a hard comparison. It's a very different thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's thematically similar, but practically very different.
Better of asking, should you watch Solos or In the Loop? Because that's
Tales from the Loop.
Tales very from the Loop, sorry. Things. Not In the Loop.
Tales from the Loop.
Tales from the Loop. Less different, but still
different. Oh, that's perfect. I love that one. No, watch In the Loop and this. Thematically, it's the same. British politics. And monologues.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well done, Dion.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I think, yeah, to compare it to Black Mirror, it is very, it thematically feels like it's the same page as Black Mirror, but structurally, nothing like it.
Yeah. I will respond to Predakanga and say, I will watch Solo again over watching Solos. There you go.
Oh, God. Right. Okay. We're going to go and have a look at a clip.
Yes, and then come back and fairly be warned. There will be spoilers talked about in the second thing, but I will not spoil the end for the people who haven't seen it, Jill. I may ask you to take your headphones out while I have one comment.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Is fair.
And now the question is, which clip do we want? Do we want Jenny or Peg? Peg or Jenny? Benny or Jeg?
And
Peggy
just,
and the Jens.
And just remember, I have not labelled them correctly, so I don't know.
Well, congratulations. This is what happens.
All that's going to happen is it's going to go either clip one or clip two because I did not put the name on.
Dion Roulette.
Yeah. I just hope that it is from Elf.
Congratulations.
You finally did it. Congratulations. This is world's best coffee. I honestly can't remember what I assigned to each one. So
sorry, I just realized, like, super in denial, who's new to the chat and everything. Just like, what the fuck, Elf? What?
In joke.
Yeah, sorry. Yep. Go back, listen to there's an episode.
Yeah, watch any of them. Anyway, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, look, okay, let's roll the dice. Hey, we're gonna go clip one.
Yesterday afternoon, I went to the birthday party of a 2-year-old. My friend's little girl. I mean, our husbands work together. I've only met her twice. But it was a costume party, obviously, hence, et voilà. I'm like an angel, basically. You know, like from the Bible. I was checking that I didn't smell, sort of thing. Because, like I said, I haven't been home. I actually think I might still be drunk. I'm Jenny, by the way. I am great fun at parties, reliable. I'm usually the first person to arrive and the last person to leave. That being said, even I know that sometimes you just gotta go home and wash off your congealed mascara and change your dirty panties, am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
You are right.
I know that, yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Where I had to wash off my mascara. Now, I'll put on the spoiler logo.
I can't believe we're leaving the clip there.
What? What are you talking about?
I like that one because that one is such a that is the funny kind of bit, and you're like, oh, that's very relatable and very funny. And by the end of that, you're just like, fuck me. Oh, God.
Yeah, I thought
that was the one that really started my descent into, oh, God, now I've really sad, and now I've just got to, if I just watch another one, then I'll be happy again and I can go to bed. Then it just doesn't let up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, I mean, because, yeah, up until that point, there's been some kind of, I don't know, like the, Sash is the one in the house, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Sasha kind of was like, okay, kind of dark. Then you get Jenny and it's just like, oh, okay, we're all in dark territory.
Yeah, it sort of goes super dark. And then Neera is just fucking weird.
Okay, so yeah, so putting it out there, the one episode that really doesn't work for me at all, and I was kind of like, why is this even here? Is was it Neera?
Yes. Was that the one? The thing. Wait, what?
What?
Have you not seen Neera? Oh, last two. Yeah. Okay. We're not going to go there. Jill.
Just tell me
remember?
When. Just
Jill,
tell me
Jill
when.
Can pull out the two. I mean,
well, and go take it out.
Okay, take it out quickly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Neera was the one that I found really confusing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Yes.
Strange. What and why?
Yeah. Why? What is the point of it? Why are we? Why is there a baby? What is the baby growing up for? And then at the end of it, why did I give
language?
A fuck? Yeah.
Like, is the baby evil? No, apparently the baby's not evil.
Why does she want to
she
stab it?
Does she want to fuck the baby? What's going on? Why? Well, it's just fucking that whole thing. I was just like,
Also,
I just don't care.
Also, I was the one thing that like freaked me out about that one, and I'm just going to say this is why can they not use proper medical procedures when giving birth? Holy shit, the mother would have died. The baby would have died. You've got to clamp and cut that umbilical. There are many different things that can go wrong. You don't just pull a baby out and then go, moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But then again, the whole baby thing, I mean, clearly not, you know, a normal baby. There was some vague fucking intimation that maybe it's a robot. I don't fucking know.
So disjointed from the fucking rest of it. So
I thought it was like genetically manipulated.
Anyway,
Jill, rant out.
That was
there was a lot of
that was what we thought of Nira, the second last one. But Jill's yet, still yet to see that. It'd be interesting.
So okay, we enjoyed the first one, the Anne Hathaway one.
It was fun.
It was a nice idea.
There's a little bit of sadness, but a lot of cleverness. It was, yeah, really interesting way to kick off an anthology.
Yeah. And this, okay, I've got to put a quick shout out to every property master, set designer, art department that's going in there. Hollywood is currently getting great use out of the plug for the equipment, Rodecaster Pro, which I have seen show up in at least three television episodes of things. It showed up in WandaVision. It showed up in the first episode, Leah, of this. And it's because it's colourful. And it looks technical. Okay. The colours don't really do anything, you know. But, I mean, I just kind of – every time I see it, I feel like that – what's that meme of who's that actor?
Sorry?
Who's, you know, the meme of the actor.
There's a lot of those.
Leonardo DiCaprio when he's doing the one where he's pointing and he's holding the beer. He's like, yeah, I see it. Like every time I see a Rodecaster in someone's shot, I'm just like, yeah, there's that piece of equipment that I know.
Well, yes. Yeah. There's that. I mean, I feel like they're also working very hard to try and work out how do we use the new technology that's available to us. You know, whether this is shot on locations or whether this is shot in, and help me out, what do they shoot The Mandalorian on? What's that?
The volume.
The volume.
Whether, I mean, whether we're shooting in that or whether we're shooting in actual locations or sets or whatever. This does a pretty good job of feeling like a lot of money's been spent.
Yeah.
Whether it's entirely successful or not, I don't know. Sorry, I have just looked at the chat and there's a lot of discussion about me eating a burger while everyone else was I mean, I could go and get my dinner right now.
No, we said we're going to extend this for 3 hours so your dinner would get cold and you wouldn't be able to eat it because Quiddy's dinner is sitting just off the side. It's a
just
different
there.
They're talking about like whenever one of us has to pull a headphone out, we go into a mukbang.
And that's not as dirty as it sounds.
I don't know. For an extra 15 subs, we'll make Quiddy mukbang.
And Missy just mentioned in the chat, there is a moment in episode 3 where you realize that it relates to episode 2. And then I got excited because I'm like, oh, they're all going to like relate somehow. And then,
I'm not quite sure where Sasha's story fits in, but I noticed that at the start of Jenny's episode, they talk about the Remember Me bots again. So I'm like, well, it's all the same universe.
It's all the same. And how do we fit? What do you guys think about this kind of the sci-fi element or the spec fiction element of it? Because it is.
I don't think it's 100% necessary.
It's definitely
not a device for the storytelling because that could stand alone on its own. It's all quite strong in its storytelling. But I don't know. Maybe it's just a world setting.
I like seeing dark futurism, or I like seeing futurism and relating it back to current days and ages and even that sort of slightly just forward jump ahead futurism. That can be really interesting and provide a connection. I find that this kind of science fiction, when it's presented in the right way, does allow people who don't usually like science fiction access. It's not just that kind of thing where you just have to go with it, you know.
And it slowly builds a world.
Yeah.
Like that's what I kind of like is that, you know, in that first one, you've got an idea that the future is whatever the future is because, you know, Anne Hathaway's there saying, don't come to the future.
Yeah, but you've still got to do laundry.
Then the second one, then you get the Remember Me bots. Third one, it's another 90 years into the future or 70 years into the future or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it sort of builds the world a bit more, but then you jump back and, you know, we're closer to now. And yep. then there's another one. Yeah. The one that we were talking about with your headphones out, Jill, that
yes.
kind of feels like it just doesn't belong in the whole fucking thing. Oh. Mm-hmm. But then the final one tries to tie a bunch of it together. And sometimes I think I'm not sure that it works.
Sure. I've got
this. And I like Jill's like, why, Jill?
I've got one comment which you can pull out really quickly, Jill, just so I can say that. Yeah, all right, I know. Wait, you've all seen that last one. Quinny, do you care?
I've got like 10 minutes left of it.
Sure.
So
when it all wraps up, I just want to say in the last one, I've seen the movie.
Hey? Is Jill, are Jill's headphones out?
Yes, they are. Out, right. Yeah.
Good. No. Sorry, Jill. Sorry, Jill. Sorry.
Fuck's sake. I just wanted to. No. Stop. Okay. I've seen Strange Days. I didn't need an origin story for Strange Days. Or some sort of thing that carried on. That film's been made. It's been done. Just move on. It's fine. Stealing people's memories and using them as drugs is just not anything new or interesting. And I was sad that that was the wrap up for it. And that was a visual for Jill. Sorry, Jill. Yeah.
Look, I'm just going to go and watch these episodes.
Yeah. It's fine.
I don't know. I thought that was one of the more fun things of just watching Jill go, no.
Quinny made the gesture and I was like, and then I just hear this,
don't do it. Like, I feel like given you're enjoying the series, Jill, I wouldn't want to put spoilers on you.
And Super in Denial is now muted when Jill mutes as well. So.
Oh, okay.
There you go. It's fine. Look, it's
dear. You're going to have a great time when this show actually, you finally watch it.
I find the thing
about it, that last episode is fucking Morgan Freeman. And there is just a thing of watching Morgan Freeman do anything that you kind of go, I'm comfortable sure. here.
And plus Dan Stevens. It's like, wow, they got these two. And I think that was the thing that frustrated me by the end. I'm like, fucking Amazon, can you not? Like, we know you've got more money than God. So who do you get on your show? God. Morgan Freeman, who has played God in movies, is, you know, it's like, oh, we want you to come and do this thing for Amazon. Well, my fee is this. Okay, we'll double it. I'm on. What am I doing?
Okay.
So, you know, because we're Amazon.
Do you mind if I do the announcements at the beginning of every episode? I'll be your announcer. Yeah. So long as I can talk about Andy Dufresne. Fuck.
Please stop.
No, I can't.
But that, like, I love that they got these people in and did it, but it just felt a little bit like that because it felt like a theatre piece, you know. It felt like it was a small, tighter, like I would have probably reacted better to it if it hadn't been established face actors. Like, do you think you would have reacted differently if it had just been like random people you didn't really know?
No.
I don't think I would have.
No, I mean, I do think that whole thing of going, oh, that's Anthony Mackie, you know, is a real... I think that's Anne Hathaway.
Well, that's Anthony
Mackie.
I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, that's
is Anthony Mackie acting opposite
He's
himself?
The Captain America now, isn't he? Yes.
I have to admit that episode, I hated the episode at the start, and by the end of it, I was kind of like, high five, I love this guy.
Yeah.
That's some good work for Anthony Mackie to present me with two distinct characters that are himself and me to go, that guy's a dick and that guy's cool. Wait. How? Stop that. Stop acting. Be normal.
Yeah, it was lovely. But they even took that to a depressing, like you're like, oh, that's like nice and hopeful. And then like one episode later it's like, oh no, it's fucking depressing.
Yes.
Oh my God, finding out what happened to poor Pagan. Oh God. Like, what a shit life for that poor family.
So my new thing that I need, and actually I feel like I've asked for suggestions for similar things, but like that was really depressing, and Ted Lasso seasons 2 hasn't started yet. So what am I going to watch, guys, that is a bit of a spirit slifter?
Oh, that's a...
Help.
Well, before the show, I was telling you about Great British Bake Off. I know we can't really review it, but it's just a little bit of light fodder until the next thing.
I mean, you could just plug in the old Miyazaki collection if you want to feel better about things. Like, come on, give us some boundaries here. Does it have to be something you haven't seen before?
No? I mean, we were toying with the idea of doing a roundup night of all of the things that damaged us most emotionally as children.
Yeah, that's yes, a coming
because
one.
Because I found out that The Land Before Time is now on Netflix, and I'm like, oh, let's relive being an 8-year-old and crying uncontrollably and wondering, and you're having your mother wonder what's wrong with you.
And it's also
you're watching Land Before.
Go back and relive the moment in a cinema in 1986 where your robot dad died on screen. When Optimus Prime turns fucking grey and dies,
no.
What the fuck? When most of the fucking... And Artax.
Yes. Don't even with Artax.
Don't go down this rabbit hole. We've teased this out, all right. We'll have to make the announcement of the list of things that we're planning on doing. So there's a whole bunch of these. Like, there's Narnia. There's fucking childhood destructions. It's like all the happy shit that we're putting out there. But we'll get to that. Get back to this.
I also like the Panda Attack was like Death to 2020. And I was like, that is not happy content.
No. None of it is happy content. A really interesting thing about this entire series is that there are no happy endings. Like every single episode, I would say, in this anthology does not have a particularly good ending. And that is strange for a television series to kind of go like it seems like it's built into the DNA. It wasn't like these sad endings all crept up and they thought, oh, maybe we need to get a nice one here. Or this is how it goes. Every single one has a shit ending. Like at the end of it, you're like
bittersweet. I thought.
You think so?
I mean, I think the first one is a thing of at least acceptance.
Yeah.
Like that is about going okay. There are bad things about to happen, but I also know that I'm capable of surviving them, you know, or something along those lines anyway.
Sure.
She's not going to survive them. She's just going to stop existing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah, okay.
What if people haven't seen the first episode? Yes, anyway.
No.
Okay. Is there anything in there though? Like, did you find there's any big twist or great thing that happened during it that you were like, I did not see that coming? That is an interesting idea that needs to be explored more. Any of them? Should any of this anthology series actually be stretched out to provide the foundation for a longer?
I think that kind of defeats the purpose of them.
Sure.
No.
I mean,
They're designed to be short form narratives, not, you know, drawn out and explored as a full universe. Like, as interesting as some of it
let's
is,
just remember that Hollywood actually made a whole movie called Battleship based on the game Battleship. So
should they have, Dion?
Yes.
Should
yes.
they have?
No, they should.
Have you watched it?
Okay.
It's a fascinating.
I have watched it and it's fucking awful.
Yeah. I blame Michael Bay and Hasbro.
See, what I like the idea of this kind of thing. There's a great comic book written by a friend of ours called Gary. The comic book is called Talgard.
book's called Gary.
No, sorry. The man who wrote it is called Gary Edwards.
The comic book is like
two-page short stories that are all about the one character. But like they happen at different places in the universe, different things happen. They interact with different things, like, you know, different parts of politics, different races, different things. But throughout the course of the comic book, it builds a world. And I think that's what this kind of starts to do, is that it builds a version of a future world that is kind of interesting. And I could imagine, you know, one, if they came back and did another series of this, you know, three series down the thing, there'd be this one story that ties it all together. And oh, shit, right. It's all fucked up. And, you know, now we have to go and fight the machine uprising of Remember Me Bots or something.
They were the first Terminators.
Exactly.
Fucking hell.
But I like the idea of building a world through disparate stories. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, do you think as an anthology that is going through compared to other ones, was it successful for you guys? Did you like it? Do you think it's time well spent? That's really the thing, isn't it? Like, yeah. Should people watch it? Is really the answer they want to know.
Yes. There you go.
Thanks.
Being a theatre kid. If you want me to stretch that out any further, I could, but at the moment I'm going with yes.
Being a theatre kid, I thought you would be comfortable with the theory of yes and Quinny.
Oh, sorry. hang on, sorry. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And.
Just because you're a theatre kid doesn't mean you're an improv kid, Dion.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh, wow, that was some blocking. That was some blocking fucking bullshit, Dion.
Yes, I know. Oh, well, I think, is there any more to say about Solos, the sequel to Star Wars, A Solo Story?
No.
It's not. Eat a chuta solo? Solos. Oh, that's a joke. No. The Jabba the Hutt.
I don't think there is anything more to say. We will wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining us. To all of the people on the chat and some of the new faces on the chat, or new names anyway, welcome. I feel like there's been a lot of education happening there.
Yes.
A whole bunch of like, what the fuck is going on?
Super Indinal has learned so much in a short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations. Welcome to the family. Next week, do we have an idea as to what we're doing?
You shall be excited to know I will not be here. So
yay!
I don't give
a sorry, that was all
I'm going to say I don't give a shit what you do, but if you do Avatar The Last Airbender, that would be chef's kiss right there. Is that what you're going to do, Avatar The Last Airbender?
Probably not.
We clearly have not made this decision beforehand.
No, we've got
possibly
lots of,
should have.
Yeah, well, look, we got dragged by Casper at the start of the chat where
true.
We yeah. said we took this recommendation from Missy. He's like, oh, you take requests, do you?
Maybe.
Well, the thing that's coming out at the end of the week, it's always at the end of the week, Sweet Tooth, I think, is coming out on Netflix, which could be a thing there. But it's lovely that our show comes out on a Tuesday because the very next day is Loki. Yes. So,
yeah.
Yep.
So maybe that's the week after.
Show. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. But follow.
Although, isn't Black Widow finally coming out next week?
I'm what? Fucked if I know when Black Widow comes out.
Is it June or July?
I'm pretty sure it's July.
8th July.
Far out.
Yeah. And then Space Jam, A New Legacy, Jungle Cruise, okay. Green Knight, The Tomorrow War, Fast Saga, F9,
maybe
The
we
Hitman's
can,
Bodyguard's
like,
Wife.
Split the episode in a fortnight and do Loki and MODOK.
Oh.
LODOK.
I mean, there has been some interest in MODOK and, you know.
Not all of it's good.
I tell you what, something that blew my fucking mind, we're at Supernova and I looked up and there was a giant two-foot-tall.
A giant two-foot-tall MODOK is not scary.
Yeah. A giant two-story-tall banner saying MODOK on the front of the exhibition hall, and I was like, how did we get here? What the fuck did we get to the point where like a stop motion animated MODOK show voiced by Patton Oswalt is like, you know, worthy of this kind of thing? And I'm like,
well, look, when Seth Green stops making robot chicken, he has to do something else.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, look, stay tuned to our social media stuff posts, which will let you know what we're going to be doing, and hopefully we can get a better schedule put up somewhere, maybe online, so we can do that. In fact, we're probably going to have a discussion about that after the show.
I mean,
we should do that thing that like Netflix does where they're like, hey, this is all the cool stuff coming out this month. Maybe we could do that.
What? Crazy.
Planning?
Forethought?
Who are you? What have you done with the real Jill?
Yeah, she's the remember me bot.
You're a remember me Jill.
Remember me.
God, goodness me.
Well, I'm entirely terrified now.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, and also good luck to everyone down in Victoria still suffering through a lockdown.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys.
You've got time to watch.
You've got time, but also you can do this and it is shitty, but stay strong, folks.
Stay strong.
We do love you.
Okay.
I have been Quinny.
I've been Dion.
I have been Peter.
Excellent.
We never know what to do.
No, there is no order. There will never be an order. Yeah. And we have been the periodic table of awesome. Thank you. And we're going to raid Barjo. Yay.
All right. We'll see you all next time and let you know more of what's coming up in the future because that could be helpful for people to do planning and shit. Anyway, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.